Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us the guidance, Father, that we need, and to take us into the depth of this, thy word, giving us the truth. Father, not man's ways, but your ways. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of the service this morning, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Going to be coming to you this morning from John chapter 15. So we had been through 14, and we know that 14 actually set up 15. But we're going to be talking about God dealing with you and I, and how Jesus was using an analog of the vine and branches. And most of us know that we have to be along that line with Him, or we'll not be able to do anything. Right? A lot of things are forgotten with each day. And as we walk, we have a tendency to let things slip that shouldn't be slipping on us. But they do if we're not reminded every now and then. So let's get reminded of a few things this morning. But two, I want to share with you just a little scripture here, reading outside of the 15th. Read you a little thing about honesty. Honesty can get you in a lot of trouble. And dishonesty can get you into more trouble. Especially when you're dishonest with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have a couple in the New Testament that done just that. Let's see how that all worked out. It says Ananias and Sapphira thought they could get by with a little dishonesty. It says it didn't work. Lying to the Holy Spirit never works. If it is not punished in this life, it will be in eternity. A dishonest person needs to repent while he has the opportunity. Ananias and Sapphira didn't repent while they had a chance. Instead, they chose to forfeit their salvation. We need to be serious about honesty on a daily basis. Let's take a warning from Ananias and Sapphira. A dishonest person cannot possibly enter the kingdom of heaven unless he repents and changes his ways. What does honesty mean to us? What should it mean? Honesty is essential for Christians to practice. If we profess to be followers of Christ, but we cannot be trusted, our claim is worthless. We cannot possibly be the light of the world. If we had known to be dishonest, by deceitfulness we provoke people to blaspheme the name of Christ. Why is it so tempting for some people to try to get by with less than the truth? Lying does not help a person out of trouble, but only helps him get deeper into it. Dishonesty also causes a person to distrust others because he is afraid they will expose him. How honest are we? Are we honest in some things but not in others? We need to be very careful, lest we do what Ananias and Sapphira did and suffer a terrible consequence. We know in the study of the Word of Almighty God how their lying worked out. Ananias tried it first. And you know, there was really no need for it. There was no need for dishonesty at all. You see, at that time, a lot of them were selling property and things that they had and bringing and giving that to the disciples to reach out and to help others. But all they had to do, if they needed part of it, was to be honest about it and kept it. It was theirs. They didn't have to give it all. They could have been honest about it. But they didn't. They lied to Peter. And I guess they thought because they lied to man, they could get away with it. But you see, lie to a man of God, you're not lying to that man. You're lying to the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And that's exactly what they did. Ananias come in first, and when he was asked if that was the amount that he had got, he proclaimed that it was, because he lied about it. In lying to the Holy Spirit, he fell down dead. Wife came in about an hour later, not knowing what was done, because they'd done carried him out and buried him. And she was asked the same question. And she agreed with her husband, Ananias, and lied. It cost her her life. It may not cost you your life today while you're walking in this world. But if you're not forgiven for it, it can cost you your life in the next world. It can cause you to sit and spend your time in eternity in hell and the lake of fire. So is it really worth it? But we need to always keep our head up, keep our mind and our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it always easy? No. Will Satan come against us? Yes. I've been fighting him now for quite a while. And he just keeps fighting. But you know, the thing about it is, I'm not fighting him by myself. I've got help. Because I have got the Lord Jesus Christ with me. Now, as we get here into John, Gospel of John, chapter 15, begin here with verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He's telling us here in these two verses that you and I both need to be in him, but we also need to know exactly how to walk in him. And we need to be bringing forth fruit. And are we? Because you see, that's what we're here for. We're here on this earth to bring forth fruit. We're not here to just sit on our backsides and do nothing. But that's what so many of us are doing. We're not bringing forth any fruit at all. We're not talking to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not trying to get them into a place to where they can spend time with Jesus and learn of him. And you know, the Lord needs you and I. He went back to sit on the right hand of the Father. But he lives in us. And we're told he needs us. And he sent back the Holy Spirit to deal with you and I, to work with us, to give us understanding, to give us knowledge, and to give us power to do the things we need to be doing, because we have been sent by the Lord God, if we are his, into this world to preach and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us. You may not be called to be a pastor, but you are a minister of the gospel. And you need to be teaching and talking with others about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to come to him, help giving them guidance and bringing forth fruit. You see, and without that, we're not going to make heaven our home either. It's not just lying that keep us out of heaven. But not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to keep us out too. A lot of us don't look at it that way. They think, well, I don't really have to do anything. I went and I repented one time, and I know that he forgave my sins, and I can just sit down and do nothing. No, afraid you're wrong there. But that's what a lot of us believe. But we'll find one day just how wrong we have been. Now here in verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. He's telling us in no small way that unless we walk in him, and he and us, we're not going to be able to do anything. Because you see, it takes him and that Holy Spirit in order for you and I to be able to carry on with the word. Because it takes both of them for us to have the knowledge of the word. But it takes that Holy Spirit also that gives us the power to accomplish what God will call upon us to accomplish. Without them, we're just not much use to anyone else. Because without them, we're lost. And you know, he's telling us now here in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He doesn't leave anything to us for a misunderstanding. He gave it to us very plainly. He is the vine. He is the source of all things for you and I. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't enter in. We have no way of standing before the throne for prayer. We have no way of asking the Father for anything without the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way. And he is the only way for you and I. But we seem to forget all of this. And we don't really think about how we go about our day. And those that we could be talking to about the Lord and about being saved, about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we're not doing it. And he's letting us know here this morning what will take place and what will happen. Well, we just want to sit on our backsides and do nothing. Let somebody else do it. That don't work for you and I. Because you see, every born-again child of God is to be sharing the word with others. As I said earlier, we're not all called for the same office or the same role in life, but we are all called to be ministers of the gospel. He may not call you to be a pastor of a church and get up and preach for every service or nothing, but you are a minister and you are called to share everything you know of the word with others. And do everything you can do to help them get into the church and learn the truth about the love of Almighty God. And you see, that is another thing, is that love that we are to have one with the other. We're to love each other, even to the point of being willing to give our lives for others, if it comes to that. But most especially, be willing to give our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his for you and I. And he didn't shirk that duty at all. He even took a lot of other things upon himself for us besides death. He took beatings. He bore stripes. Stripes that not only just left a mark, but would tear the hide, the flesh, even, away. And he did that so you and I could have health, be free of sickness and disease. Does that mean we'll never get sick? Not necessarily. Because you see, Satan is going to come against us just like he did the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are times that he may be able to get through to give you something. He did me. I'm being honest with you. He did me. It has taken me a while to find out even how he got through. But the Lord let me know. And the Lord's been working with me. I haven't had to go through it by myself. The Lord's went through with me. But he didn't keep me from bearing it. Because you see, he will correct you and I. He'll give us that correction that we need. Now, he tells us here in verse 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So he's letting you and I know what's going to happen if we don't get our lives straightened out to do the things that we are called upon to do and bring forth that fruit that we should be gathering. He lets us know exactly. Because you see, there'll be a day and a time at that great white throne judgment when all that are not ready and with him, along with Satan, his demons, hell itself, and all that are not ready will be cast in to a lake of fire, as the scripture says, that will burn forever and the worm never dies. And I can't speak for no one but myself, but I sure don't want that. I absolutely don't want that. No. He goes on here now and tells us, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But I want you to look at some little bitty words here. What's it take in order for you to be able to receive what God has got for you? If, little word, if you abide in me. Let's get rid of that word, if, to where we can say, I abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he abides in me. Not that if I do, because I know that I'm supposed to be there. And that's the only way that we can ask things that we are needing and know that God is going to answer us and supply that need. It goes on here now in 8, and he says, herein is my Father glorified. You see, when you and I are doing what we are called upon to do, and we're walking in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's in us, and we are doing and bringing forth the fruit that we are supposed to be bringing forth, then the Father has been glorified. We're bringing glory unto him. And that's what he's telling us here. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now he's calling us a disciple even. You see, when we walk as a born-again child of the living God, we carry many titles. Titles of minister. We carry titles of a priest. We carry titles of disciples. We carry titles as being his son and daughters. Long titles, don't we? Now, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He's letting you and I know, the Lord Jesus says, that he loves us. Are we really letting him know that we love him and just how much we do love him? Are we keeping his commandments? Are we living his words in our life? And are we bringing forth that fruit that we are to be bringing forth? Because, you see, it all has to go through him in order to get to the Father. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. When we really will stop and see just how deep that is, how strong that love really is that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you and I, it ought to bring tears to our eyes. And more than that, it ought to bring that work of gathering fruit to help to give glory unto the Father. Now, 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And you know, I can say one thing honestly, and I do want to share that with all of you this morning. Through all this sickness and all, I have been able to walk filled with joy because I know that the Lord is there with me. And he has kept his joy within me. I've not been down. The hospital couldn't understand it even. They couldn't understand why I wasn't down and why I wasn't complaining about this, that, and the other. You see, I was diagnosed. I'm going to share this with you also. I was diagnosed with emphysema, COPD, and a touch of pneumonia. Satan wasn't satisfied with just one thing. He wanted to get in there and give me three. But through all of it, I was filled with joy. I could lay and smile and I could be there and be pleasant with all of the personnel there. They couldn't understand it. And I've had several that has told me they wanted to come and visit us here at the church from the hospital. In fact, I've got about 8 or 10 that has taken our handbills. And they've also took our call-in number to where they can call in if they can't make it here. but they're wanting to come and visit with us. Because, you see, even though I was there, I didn't just lay there and quit work for the Lord. I would talk with each and every one of them that would come in, whether they were nurses or doctors or people that would come in to give you other works and things. In fact, I had one doctor I was talking to. Nurse was standing there with him. And he looked at her and he said, "You reckon he's going to tell me all of this?" She said, "Yep." So, and he got it all. Because you see, I still had joy. And I wasn't hurting. I had no pain. I still have no pain. None. The Lord has never let me have pain through all of this. Right now, mainly, the problem that I have, like I said, a medication they did put me on has made me tired and sleepy. Because they put me on prednisone. But other than that, no. And I got to study in the hospital. I studied God's word. I got to spend more time with him in prayer. So it was used actually as a way of me having more time for him than I had taken it home. Now, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And I can tell you this, I can tell you that he means exactly what he's saying here. If you will stay with him, if you will walk with him and in him and let him walk in you, even through sickness, he's right there with you, and that joy is full. I can attest to that. I've been down that road. Still traveling on part of it. Now, here in 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." That's a deep love we are supposed to have for each other, isn't it? It's not some of this make-believe stuff. He's talking about the real thing here. He's talking about real love. And when in your life, if I am needed, I am supposed to be there. And I'm supposed to be there with that love of Almighty God to bring to you, to help you in whatever way that you are in need of. But so many don't do that. That's the kind of love we're talking about here. "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He puts it plain for us. He don't leave it out there for guesswork. He says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Now he's calling us friends. He's not calling us servants now. He's calling us friends. If we do the things that he calls upon us to do. Now, And he tells us this here in 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You see, the Lord Jesus has gave you and I everything we need in this, his word. He has shared with you and I everything that his Father shared with him, he has shared with you and I. It's all in this word. We just have to study his word and find it. But it takes time and it takes study. Now, he comes on here in 16. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. He's telling you and I exactly why he has chosen us. He's chosen me and you, and we have been chosen to go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know, here again, he's letting us know that if we walk with him, we walk in him, that we can ask what we need of the Father and know that it will be given. But he's told us how to get that done. But so many of us don't do it. We don't, we just don't get out here and do the things that we are supposed to be doing and to bring others in to hear the word of Almighty God. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's verse 17 there. Now we're going to get into a little warning here, and then we're going to get closed out here for the morning. But he also gives us a warning and lets you and I know how we stand in the ways of this world. 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So he's letting you and I know everything is not going to be rosy. There's some trouble coming. He says, 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So we needn't look for anything really good from this world. But you know, too, we don't need too much from this world. Not like we think we need, and especially those of us that was wanting things before we come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thought we had to have the best of everything, didn't we? It wasn't just good enough to have, but we wanted the best. We'd see a friend have a different vehicle than we had. How would we do? We'd want that vehicle. Now, we might not wish him out of his, but I can remember in growing up how I'd see one and I'd say, well, you know, I don't need yours, but I don't wish you out of yours, but I'd like to have one just like it. And see, that's wrong. Because what I had was getting me where I needed to go. It was serving its purpose. And today, I don't drive a new car. It's not real old, but it ain't new either. It's a 2015. And it's a small engine, but it gets me where I need to go. And really, it gets me there a lot better than one of these fancy cars would, because it gets me there cheaper even. I get around 35, 36 miles to the gallon on my gas. Where that Mercedes is only going to get 8 or 9. It's clean, or it would be, and I get it clean. And I ain't had time to really wash it yet, but it's not that bad yet. But these are things that we need to know in all in our lives. But he tells us here in 20, he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Because if we are walking in him, then as they see you and I in our lives, they should be seeing him. But that don't always work, does it? Now, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. He even tells us why they hate us. And they hate us because we're going to follow him. We're walking, not only following him, but we're walking in him, and he is walking in us. So therefore, they hate you and I, just as they hated him. And they'd probably do the same thing to us. And one day it will happen. One day this is all going to come and turn around to where, when you choose to walk with Lord Jesus Christ, they will be jailing us and putting us to death. When we sit using the cross, according to the word, they'll be beheading us, be taking our heads off. All because we want to follow Jesus. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Uh-oh. He's telling us even why. He said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they wouldn't have had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, they've got no way of covering it up now because they've been told. And we're telling them too. We're continuing telling them. So that's another reason they don't want me or you around either. Now, he that hated me hateth my Father also. That's the Lord talking. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father, because he let them know about their sin and them having that sin. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Without a cause. And they'll hate you and I the same way, just because we are walking with him and he with us. But when the Comforter is come, when that Holy Spirit has come, he says, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And see, that is the job of the Holy Spirit, is to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give you and I the power and the authority to walk as he walked. And we'll close with this next verse. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. We need to be walking closer each and every day with the Lord Jesus Christ and keeping in accord with him and listening for his voice, so that we know what to do, that he is calling upon each one of us to do. Because he does talk to us. He's been talking to me all through this, even this sickness, and letting me know a lot of things, and even why I was facing what I've been facing. And letting me know that I'm not there by myself, that he's with me, he's still with me, he's staying with me, and he'll bring me through it. And I know one other thing. I know that once I get through this, I'll be stronger than I was when I started through it. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Because, Father, without them, we are nothing. Now, Father, use us in great and mighty ways. Help us, Father, to reach out to the lost in this world. But also, Father, help us to reach those that are young and being a child of God, so that we can be there and be of help to them. Help them grow in strength of faith so that they can walk, Father, and accomplish the things that you will call upon them to do also, and that they can become part of the workers in the harvest field. Because, Father, your word has told us that the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Use us, Father. Use us now in great and mighty ways. And your saints, Father, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, Jerusalem and Israel, we know that they're not having a lot of peace, but we're praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for all of them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours that has turned its back and walked so far away without any excuse whatsoever, taking Jesus out of every place he was in, not wanting the word preached, Father, not wanting anything displayed publicly that has to do with you, Father, or the Lord Jesus Christ, or your people. We pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit can work with us to remove those from office, Father, that's against you and against yours, and to replace them with those, Father, that will work with us to put the Lord Jesus Christ back into every place he's been taken out of, and to work with us to put this land of ours back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list. Kenny Powers, Dennis, Father Dennis Lee, these two men that stand with me, Father, I pray for blessings for both of them, because, Father, they love you, and they are here to work and to help me with this ministry. Use them, Father, in great and mighty ways. But, Father, give them a blessing. Terry Coates, Father, needs a touch of thy healing hand. Touch him in a mighty and great way, Father. Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob. Father, these all, bless them, Father. Turn them. Bring them close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make them stronger. Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, the Little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches, not only make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand, but make them places of refuge, Father, to where the lost can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. For my three friends, Father, in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Hiram. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Now, Father, for the Johnson family, for that whole family, Father, for Millie and Bobby and Terry and all of that family, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombello and her mother, for Sue and David, for Peyton and Scoodman, for Kelly Smith, for Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them now, Father. Touch them with thy healing hand. Now, Father, be with this church. Help us to build this church now, Father. And help me to grow stronger each and every day. And Father, we give all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that sweet, precious name of Jesus we pray, Father. Amen. All righty. All right, everyone. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into the Word of God. So until then, walk with the Lord and He'll walk with you. Have a great day now. Bye-bye.